right, welcome back. Our final hour. If you want to get in, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. We got tickets to give away, huh? Let's do it right at 9 o'clock. Exactly 9 o'clock. We'll give away two tickets to the Cougs in Southern. Don't call if you're not going to go. Call number 2 at 713-780-3776. You're going to win those tickets to go to the Cougs game on Saturday night. Southern is coming. That Southern band, I mean, I honestly, that is the best halftime show ever.
There is a rivalry. It's a Two Americas thing that maybe a lot of people don't know about with the HBCUs. Like, there's Southern, of course, there's Grambling, because we all watch those games as over the last 30 years or so. But you go across the country, and people will say, no, they're not even the best bands that do that sort of thing. FAMU will tell you they're good. Mm-hmm. FAMU will be down in Miami for their game tonight. So I would say, yeah, they're one of the preeminent ones, but there are bands across the country that go, watch yourself when you talk about Southern that way.
Southern, we're better than them. Sure. Yeah, it was Southern. I think it was Southern played Rice one year. And I'm telling you, there is no more exciting half. You talk about sassy.
Is TSU the Ocean of Soul, or is it? I think it's TSU is the Ocean
Southern.
Of Soul, right? It's Southern is the Ocean of Soul?
I'm pretty sure it's Southern. That is
TSU.
It's TSU
is the Ocean of Soul.
Oh, sorry, TSU. Yeah. Because they'll come after me.
Southern is, my brother played against Southern when he was at Nicholls State. And he's like, players wanted to go out at halftime and watch.
Yeah.
They wanted to go watch the band, the Southern
it
band.
It is the best.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Nobody puts more into it. Do you want to talk about? Yes. I love that. I'm not going to be here, so I won't be able to go. I went last week. You got to show up, Cougar fans. Let's go. I know it was hot. I get it. But show up for your team.
No, right? Last week was brutal hot. Brutally hot. You were there. You know.
It was hot. It was hot.
My buddy Chris Soles didn't go to the Longhorn game. He was like, too hot. People were passing out. They were underneath the stands. They weren't even in the stands because it was so hot. Like, I can't imagine. It was that hot that people just couldn't even be in the stands. I'm going to this Oklahoma State game. Shout out to Daspit. Got to my wife and I tickets. So my wife, Longhorn fan, gets to go watch Ohio State. So pretty excited about that. But
you said Oklahoma State game.
I'm sorry. Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Texas and Ohio State.
I was like, you're going to OSU game?
Yeah. I can't wait to see
Oregon's
Oklahoma State
going
play.
There.
Yeah. No. Texas and Ohio State. But it's a night game. It's supposed to be 101 in Austin on Saturday.
Yeah.
So it'll cool down into the mid-90s by game time, probably be about 96, but it'll be in the shade. So it's going to be a really cool 96. Like, it's going to be
it'll be great.
Possibly bring a wind jacket.
Are we complaining about going to the Ohio State-Texas game?
No, I'm not. I'm just going to be hot. If you were hot last week, you're going to be hot this week.
This weekend, we bought our tickets for LSU at Texas in Baton Rouge. And we're going to come. That's November 14th. Can't wait for that. That's going to be huge. That's going to be a huge game.
It could have Heisman Trophy implications.
Yeah, yeah, it absolutely could.
Is Darian Minson in that game?
If Darian hurts, he's already out of it.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Good luck beating your own guy.
What guy? Was Malachi Toney in the game? If he's not in the game, then I don't care about
Heisman
Trophy
implications. Well, it's always wide receivers are always long shots. How about this year? The two best players are two wide receivers, and they probably can't win because the Heisman doesn't go to receivers. But it's very clear that Malachi Toney and Jeremiah Smith are the two best players in college football. It's like, it's not Dante, it's not Arch, it's not going to be Sam Leavitt. The two best players, the most dominant players, are going to be a Miami slot receiver and gadget guy, and an absolute monster on the outside against Ohio State. But I brought this up with Bucky because we talked about it on the show, and I talked about this on the show. Jeremiah Smith had one catch for 3 yards as a freshman against Texas. And last year, I think it was 3 for 43 against the Longhorns in game one. He really needs a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just for the narrative of being this generational talent, he really, like, it wouldn't make sense for him to get shut out in 3 games against the Longhorns because he was a factor as a freshman. It's not like he wasn't a factor. He was a factor as a freshman, one catch, 3 yards.
Remember when Ryan Williams was better than Jeremiah Smith?
I remember when there was a talk, and I remind my son who's at Alabama because he told me, "Yeah, Jeremiah Smith, talking about Jeremiah Smith, Ryan Williams is actually better than him." And I went back to Alec. I said, "Hey, where are we right now? on the Jeremiah Smith after another year played out? Where are we right now on Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams? Are you still Ryan Williams better than Jeremiah Smith? He goes, yeah, I lost that one. Yeah, you lost that one. And I like the fact that a guy who can't catch doesn't wear gloves.
Yeah.
Just astonishing to me that Ryan Williams isn't wearing gloves.
That man is clearly in his head. I told you. We talked about it. He wrote Kill 'Em All on his face. What do you call it? Face black, whatever you want to call that.
Eye black patch.
That was the type of juice he was rolling with in his freshman year. He can't catch a football now, so it's like, I got to find a way. I got to be out there like Steve Largent. Put some gloves on. Cut it out.
Catch the ball.
Well, that too. Dropped a blatant one in the middle field. Did he drop one that turned into a pick in the end zone? And then he eventually made some plays because they were playing an outmatched opponent. But he's got to figure it out, man. Keelan Russell out of Duncanville looked pretty good.
Yeah, competition.
Yeah, certainly. But first start looked pretty good. You're going to need your star receiver, at least in name only right now, to show up if Alabama wants to do anything this year.
You know, just because I'm ADD, I'm watching all the Drake Mays key plays for PFF. You know, I forgot about this one. He had an easy touchdown throw to A.J. Brown. Now, it was an interference penalty at the 1 yard line. They ended up scoring anyway. But that was a bad underthrow.
Bad throw. But you keep with your narrative that he was better than Drew Lock.
Well, I think it was two bad quarterbacks. Okay. It wasn't exactly a shootout.
Keep up with that narrative.
Well, y'all keep thinking Drew Lock is going to
Drew Lock won a football
no
game
one
last
said
night.
He was
you guys
great.
Keep thinking Drew Lock is
the
special.
The bar was low, and the bar is in hell to clear because Drew. But that's because Drake May was terrible.
I'll bet you that Drake has a better year than
Drew
Lock.
I bet you he does. But last night against real competition, Drake May showed what he is.
He's who I thought he was out of North Carolina.
He, against good teams, ain't great. That's all. And I think that's easy to say.
I'm watching.
He's just a weasel on the ground. Like, he's a good runner. So it kind of covers up for some of the stuff.
I'm watching a lot of CJ's press conference yesterday. He's got a pouty face on.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I mean, honestly.
You're going to get beat up on the comments.
He was like, oh, my God, he does, though. It's like
droopy dog.
He is. He's really, really like it. Every question seems painful to him.
Well, he doesn't want to be there.
Did you guys watch the preseason first preseason game?
Yeah, we talked about.
He was sassy with that interview
with a Texans reporter.
Yeah,
on the sideline, he was not happy to be there, and apparently the Texans were like, "CJ, come on, this is home team now.
Yeah,
you can." Do a little bit more than what you did. I think right now, CJ Stroud, and I maybe don't have a problem with this. CJ, I know people have jobs to do, and I get that, and I'm sensitive to that. If that means CJ right now has a big chip on his shoulder, and it fuels this, you know, man on fire, Denzel Washington, Creasy. I'm going to blow up the world revenge tour.
Well, that's who's this Dakota Fanning? Who's the girl who gets kidnapped?
It's not
that
Amber
motivates
Rose.
Him?
Tank Dell.
Tank Dell.
Tank Dell is his Dakota Fanning. He's being kidnapped right now on the IR.
Because Creasy
didn't find him.
Creasy found his love after. Again because he fell in love with this little girl who's taking care of him. And then she gets kidnapped.
Fell in love
and
is a relative term. But
no,
yes.
Well, he started to love.
He loved this little girl.
Yes.
Yeah. He wanted to rescue her.
He fell
Did
in
you
love
ever
with
see
life
Man on Fire,
again.
John?
Yeah.
At one scene, he put like an explosive in this guy's butt.
Yeah, like
and
an
then
LSU
he exploded
fan.
Him like that. He like an LSU fan.
Yeah,
but so, it was a grenade.
Grenade in my booty. Yeah.
And so Man on Fire is the ultimate revenge tour for somebody who is going to, like, it's easy for fans. We all have that. Like, we want the bad guys we want a good guy to just annihilate the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is him doing it to a Mexican drug cartel, I think.
Yeah, they stole the girl who gave his life back. He was like his surrogate daughter.
Yeah, and so he went and annihilated everyone. Man on fire. That's what CJ's doing.
Who is his Maybe. Dakota Fanning?
And his Dakota Fanning is
Forget
Tank Dell.
I want to know how.
You remember when Tank weeped? Remember when he weeped when
yes,
Tank got
I do remember
stolen
that.
By the knee injury?
Yes, that is true.
He did weep. Like,
what are your questions,
wait a minute.
John?
How is he like Man on Fire?
Because this is now, he's pouty and mad at the media because they're part
of
the
injury.
Did he
stick a grenade in anybody's
no,
booty?
This
in Aaron Wilson's
well,
booty?
Metaphorically,
this is what the season
I hope he sticks one up the Bills' butts. Yeah. We're going to find out.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is on the other side.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson can get it. Somebody asked him about CJ yesterday.
No comment.
And he said,
no.
Next question.
Next question, yeah.
You get a grenade. You get a grenade too now, Chauncey. That's what I'm
Greg
hoping
Rousseau,
is going to happen.
You get a grenade.
Greg Rousseau, you get a grenade. Ed Oliver, you get a grenade.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that this is part of CJ's. I'm mad at the media.
He's mad at
everybody.
I'm mad
at the fans. I'm mad at Twitter. And I'm going to take it out on all of you. As long as there is. Now, if you're just mad and you don't take it out on anyone, then you're just a pouty little baby. But if you're mad and then you annihilate everybody, then you're man on
this
fire.
This is why I bring up Dakota Fanning, because Denzel in that movie was down on his luck, lost the will to be who he was, which is what John is apparently seeing in CJ at that presser. He needs his Dakota Fanning. Who's going to be the person who motivates him to love
four,
life again?
Tank comes back in game
okay.
four.
All right, there it is.
But he sees the light at the end of the tunnel. Here,
maybe
listen,
David Mulgeta's contract.
If I'm CJ, though, honestly, every flipping analyst says the same thing about this Texans team. Great defense. The season is up to CJ.
We've all said it.
Everybody says it nationally too.
It's impossible
everybody,
not to say it.
The season relies on him. He has 60 million views of him walking into the facility.
It didn't get that high.
I think it's ridiculous.
I saw was like 27 million.
Okay.
And the only thing approaching it now is the guy who worked at Anthropic AI who ratted out like, yeah, I just quit. Because nobody cares about taking care of humanity. And this other guy who works at Anthropic said, yeah, you know, he's the lead scientist for Anthropic AI. He goes, yeah, he's right. This is the extinction level for humanity has gone over 10% now. So, yeah, everything he's saying is true.
1991, like, hey. People, Terminator 2. Why are we were told this already.
Just kept pushing. And now the Richie Riches are fighting for that, and they'll tell you, well, we don't want China to get it. Here's the secret. If anyone gets a superintelligence, you're screwed. Doesn't matter who wins. If superintelligence is if they find superintelligence, that's when the computer. You already saw what you know this Huggy Face thing, right? Where the AI agents all basically broke out of the system they were in and created their own chat room and then went and basically hacked a bunch of systems. And it's like, and they all realize,
wait.
We didn't think this was going to happen this fast. And they're all behind the scenes. They're flipping the F out right now. People who are at Anthropic and at all these AI companies are like, oh, boy. This is not good. The reason I bring that up is I saw 21 million views in one day for that. And I even said, or it was up to 22, and I said, this is reaching CJ Stroud walking into a facility. Think about this. The extinction of mankind.
It's reaching
in 24
CJ.
Hours. Extinction of Mankind had 22 million views. That's a lot. CJ Stroud had 27 million.
Walking
into
a facility.
I want you to take
but
that
I,
in.
So is it, I mean, in his offseason had to be as bad as it could possibly be. We didn't see him. He was at one event, and I saw him at an event, and these women were talking to him, and he looked like he just wanted to be out of there or kill him. One of the two things.
Oh,
And he had the whole offseason. He cannot be. It's almost impossible with the amount of scrutiny that he has faced this offseason for him to be in a good place. It's almost impossible. When you get 27 million views talking about how you walked into a facility,
yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that should tell you everything.
I mean... And then,
but wouldn't you feel some kind of way? Just for a second to empathize.
And he doesn't get his contract.
Yeah, put yourself in CJ's shoes just for a second. And I'm sure seeing Baker get that contract
after
probably pisses him off.
Will got
more.
His contract.
Yeah.
He didn't get his.
Nor should he unless you're doing it at the
but
Texas rate.
But that doesn't help CJ's and his esteem at all.
Yeah, that's true.
He is scrutinized every play. How he's playing, what he's doing, hit interceptions in practice, all of this. I mean, it cannot. And he asked about his contract all the time. He was asked about whether, you know, is he excited to play against Josh Allen and Joe Burrow in the first couple of games. He's like, I mean, he cannot be in a good. There's zero chance he's in a good spot. Zero.
No, this is someone who needs football. So people can actually talk about him playing well. Because if he doesn't, I don't know. Well, you can tell me, Lance, you probably have more insight on what people thought of him in the draft process as far as how he handles adversity. Do people believe he has the personality to work through this and come out on the other side? Did we know anything about his mental makeup coming in? Other than the jokes about S2, did we know anything about his mental makeup coming in?
Yeah. I mean, I knew behind the scenes what I had been told by people close to CJ, and that was that he's very particular about who he talks ball with in terms of his coaches. Ryan Day was the guy. He said Ryan Day knew ball, so Ryan was the guy that he didn't go through the coordinator. Ryan was the play caller, so this is who he was in with. I know he had the fight with Slowick and this is I'll put this on all of my kids and my dogs. This is a true story. CJ knows the true story. CJ told this story to the Falcons. He told it to the Colts. This is a true story. He and Bobby Slowick got into it because Bobby was challenging him on something, and Bobby was saying something. CJ kept saying, "What Ohio State? We called it this or whatever." And I think CJ was trying to show him, "I know ball," right? And Bobby jumped him. And it's one of these things. Maybe you want to see how he responds or whatever. Yeah. And CJ got in his face, and it wasn't great. And CJ didn't think it was great. And so on his next trip, he went to a team and said, they said, "How'd it go with Houston?" He said, "Terrible." And he told the story about what happened. The day before the draft, someone reached out to CJ's camp. I found this out literally post facto. Somebody reached out to CJ's camp, said, "The Texans are likely to draft you tomorrow. When they do, you need to let CJ," when they draft him, they told somebody was with CJ, "When the Texans draft him, you need to make sure he's prepared so he doesn't look bad on TV, so he doesn't have, you know, a memorable face."
Like Johnny Manziel when he got drafted by Cleveland?
Yeah.
He was like, what?
Were exactly. we on the verge of Steve Francis getting drafted by the Grizzlies type stuff?
Yeah. Well, I think, but this is why I never put him with the Texans in mock drafts, because CJ didn't think he was going to the Texans, because they had to think. But now, I don't want to make too big a look, but then he had a great rookie season. He and Bobby Slowick did well together that first year. I don't think it went as well the second year. I think C.J. Stroud is a guy who is very particular about his quarterback coaches and about his play callers. I think he wants to have input in what's going on. I'm just telling you what I have heard behind the scenes at multiple spots now with the Texans and with Ohio State. I'm not saying that. And that's not a comment on his personality. I mean, I'm not denigrating C.J. I'm telling you who football people know him to be.
Sounds like a little bit.
Well, I think talk about this is who football people know him to be. Is CJ wants things a certain way. There's other quarterbacks who want things a certain way too. So if you're saying what did draft people know, that's what we knew. There were questions about how he handles adversity. He's not a guy watching tape that's going to run the football unless he absolutely has to. Then all of a sudden against Georgia, he ran the ball. He shows balls, they're toting him around in a wheelbarrow. It was like, holy crap. I didn't see this guy all year long. Then his rookie season, I'm like, Georgia, we got Georgia CJ. We got Georgia CJ. Holy crap. And then the last 2 years, it's like, no, this is more regular season in 2020.
Drew Lock.
In 2022 college football season, it's more of that CJ. It's fine. There's some good stuff.
CJ Lock.
But I do think. CJ Lock.
That's offensive. Like, I will joke and call him C plus Stroud. Fine. I think that's kind of funny. But CJ Locke.
That is offensive.
No.
Is he going to put a backpack on too at some point?
CJ. But this is the one concern that I think people had about CJ before, and they have it now. How does he handle adversity? And he didn't. And you know what? His rookie season, I thought he handled adversity in games pretty well. He had comebacks for fourth quarter. And it wasn't very good in the second season. It was average in the second season. It was below average last year. My biggest concern is little things like throwing with a little better accuracy, footwork, internal clock. You know, it's football stuff. More than anything, how's CJ going to handle it when things go bad for him? When he throws an early interception, is he going to get down on himself, or is he going to say, "Man, F that. I'm not worried about that."
Man on fire, CJ, is what you're...
I want man on fire, CJ, but if I had to bet on it, I don't know that that's him.
But you still believe this is a number one seed, though, after all the things you just said.
Well, that's not fair, though.
You put me... Wait a minute.
I am in a negative mindset now.
You said that you think they're the number one seed, and then you say all that about the quarterback.
All he's got to do is not throw early interceptions.
Okay. As long as there's no adversity.
Just don't have adversity.
You told us a minute ago it was going to be 71
Tell
degrees.
You what, if there's no adversity for CJ this year, they're 15-2.
So, and football is filled with no adversity.
Oh, yeah.
If there's no adversity.
There's never adversity
like
in
last
football.
Night, no adversity at all.
There's no adversity.
Yeah.
But he does have to prove that when things go wrong that he can, like, you know, he can just steady the ship. That's all he's got to do.
Okay.
And he didn't last year in the playoffs. It was the total opposite. And but personality-wise, coming out, I think there is he is still in a place where I think he's got to have – he likes situations to be really his way, you know. And that's fine. You better get it his way then. Quarterback coach, play caller. Hey, getting Tank on the field. We joke about it. Tank Dell's somebody who CJ loves.
I better not have to play this in week six.
You got to know when to hold up.
Because you're giving me the man to fold him type. If things
well,
go poorly.
He's got to prove he's not.
I hope so.
He wasn't a fold him type against Georgia. He wasn't a fold him type in 2023. Last year he showed a different personality, and I didn't like it.
It wasn't great.
And now he's really mad at everybody because of it. And if he needs to... I'm not going to say this because you'll clip it.
Okay, let's go talk about
I was going to say, if he needs to go man on fire on me, then he can do it.
You
if it's
want a grenade?
Well, good.
You want a grenade up there?
That's why I wouldn't finish this.
Put your draft grade up
there. That's why I won't finish. My draft grade was a 67.
You want to be taped to the hood of a car, and CJ puts a grenade up there?
No. No. But I'm saying if he needs to mentally think that about me, he wouldn't be the first one to cut part of my draft profile out. Be mad at me.
That's fine.
Be mad at John. Be mad
don't
at
be
whoever.
Mad at me. I don't want a grenade in my booty.
Be mad at CJ. Well, I don't think that's necessarily the end result.
Let's talk. You know what I want? I want Coors Light in my gullet. That's what I want. That's what I want.
Not
all right.
Not a booty.
I want cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. I don't want a grenade in a booty. No. That's not me. No. And what I want and what I had last night, it was awesome. We were at Nick's place, and we were throwing down Coors Lights. We're watching a football game. Oh, great food. It was just fun. I mean, it just can't. I mean, there were so many people. We thought, we'll just give away 50 here because we're giving away so many. And it was like, hey, this person, get some more. And we went through bucket after bucket after bucket because it's cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, and everybody loves them some Coors Lights. I don't know if you have tried Coors Light. If you were with the other beers, okay, give it a try and see. It just tastes different. It just tastes better. The water is better. Everything about it is better. It is better with Coors Light. I'm just telling you. I don't know what they do, but their beer, it's a distinctive taste. You will have that taste. You will love that taste. That's what beer tastes like to me, and I want beer to taste like that to you. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing, Coors Light. Make sure you climb on, brother. Have some all the time in your refrigerator for when your boys come over. Coors Light. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I'm about to watch this guy. He's got a grenade in his booty.
Man on fire.
Man on fire. He was mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was mad.
Well, Creasy was, and I'm hoping CJ plays with that kind of energy.
That's what you want?
Yeah, I want him to play with Creasy, the Denzel Washington character. I'm hoping he plays with that energy. Beaten down, and then comes back with a vengeance. I'm reading from Texans fans and CJ fans that
it's a revenge tour.
This is a revenge tour.
I've
read that this is a revenge tour. And so I'm hoping they're right.
Well, would I be surprised if CJ has a blonde woman in his life? No. But I don't think it's gonna motivate him like Dakota Fanning being kidnapped motivating John Creasy. But I could see a blonde woman being in his life too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
At some point.
Yes.
I don't know what his taste is.
I don't know what that man's taste is.
I mean, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, does he have this kind of hate in his heart?
It
I need a quarterback with a little bit of hate in his heart. I think it's like, I'm okay. You know, like Roger Clemens, one of the great pitchers of all time. That Roger has a burning hatred in his heart that he keeps. He's a pleasant enough guy, but when he pitches, we saw him throw that bat at Mike Piazza. There's a piece of Roger. You know, all of Nolan Ryan had a hateful side. That's why he would come up in under your chin in an all-star game.
Right.
Nolan Ryan would do that. Michael Jordan had hate in his heart. He basically beat up Steve Kerr, his own teammate. I need my quarterback to have a little more hate in his heart. And that's okay with me if he does. It's okay if he's a little bit mean.
Mm-hmm.
If he's a little ugly. If you're going to be ugly to people, and he's not necessarily, but he doesn't look like he loves media interactions. But once again, we didn't really get to this, John. Can you blame him? If you've been a meme, he's the ray gun of NFL quarterbacks right now.
Well, you pointed it out.
That's the breakdancer from the Olympics, the Australian. His meme was just walking into a facility.
But you pointed it out that Drake May played poorly, so they put CJ's head on Drake May's body and said Drake May in the fourth quarter, and it was CJ. That's what he is right now, unfortunately.
Now, Texans fans had CJ's back. But I don't blame CJ for being on edge or being a little pissed off. This has been a not great run for CJ. The playoffs, he's had to live with everything up until this point. His first game has been on the heels of really historically terrible playoff games. And all he's heard is the fallout from that. I don't blame him for being a little pissed off. I don't blame him for being a little feeling some type of way. I really don't. Now, if it manifests itself in pouting and not being a great quarterback, then it's all irrelevant and you're going to get beat up even more. Like, it's only going to get worse. If it manifests itself in, I'm going to show you, watch what happens, I'm going to get my swagger back, then we are all beneficiaries. We in the city of Houston are all beneficiaries. And so is CJ. And so is his agent, David Mulligetta, because he's going to make a lot more money if CJ gets that swagger back. All I care about is I don't care about how much money he makes. I don't care about how little or how much, long as he is a positive factor in my team getting me the Super Bowl that I deserve. That's all.
That's all you care about. That's all you care about. Yep. Got the Bills in town. Well, Joe Brady, he was at LSU. As a matter of fact, he was the offensive coordinator when Stingley was a rookie.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yep. And he was there and he said, the first time he saw him, he said, When he was a freshman.
Right.
And Stingley had
the interception against the Longhorns. I was at that game. The interception against the Longhorns, that was the first game I was like, who, this guy, 24.
Well, I saw him in his first game against North Carolina.
Oh,
it
was Longhorns' second game?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember that second game against Texas, like, holy crap, this freshman is good.
Yeah.
And then Texas kept scoring, and they couldn't get a stop. Like, I kept thinking, Joe Burrow, you can't stop Joe Burrow? Did you see him last year? Mm. Surely you can stop Joe Burrow and
Justin
Jefferson.
Joe Burrow was great his junior year.
Surely you can stop Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson.
That old fight.
Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase. Surely you can keep those guys from scoring a touchdown. I mean, obviously, in hindsight, it sounds crazy that you and the Longhorns couldn't stop them. Every time Texas would score, LSU scored.
You know, most guys, like there was Antonio Brown, the perfect hit changed his life, right? You take a hit like that, and usually it's right in the toilet afterwards. The hit that Joe Burrow took in that on New Year's Day.
UCF again in the bowl game.
UCF, a blindside.
He threw a pick for a pick six, and he got cleaned out.
Cleaned out.
It's one of the hardest hits I've ever seen on a quarterback in the history of the sport.
Yeah. He just took off from there.
And so I remember
the hit,
reading.
Not Joe Brady, not Justin Jefferson.
What I remember reading. No, and I talked to a guy who.
Jamar.
No. Not those guys.
Not those.
No. And
Joe.
I read this.
Are you okay?
I read this and I talked to Derek Pomanski, who was the right hand man for Ed O when Joe was coming out. And he told me when Joe got up and finished the game. So, Joe, that whole year, who did Joe beat out? Remember, Joe beat someone out. There was another quarterback that had been at LSU. Joe Burrow beat him out for the position. And Derek told me the team just didn't really gravitate to Joe Burrow. Like, they liked him fine, but the other quarterback was their guy. And then after that hit, and Joe gets up and keeps going, and they end up winning. I think they won the game. He said, literally on the sideline, any doubts that anyone had, like, this was their quarterback.
Ooh, did they love Miles Brennan or something?
No, there's a black quarterback.
I don't see one on the 18 roster.
No. I think he transferred out.
After Joe
spring.
Beat him? Okay.
Look at the 17 roster.
Okay.
Wait, no.
See, well, Joe 18, was...
No, it was 19 season.
So yeah. Well, Joe started the 18th season.
Yeah, he started the 18th season.
Oh, no, the 18th season is the year he came in.
Yeah.
There was some quarterback that they all liked, and it wasn't Miles.
It wasn't Miles Brennan. He's got a longer neck than
He won everyone over after that hit because they were like, dude, this guy is he's a dog. Like, this guy is a dog. And then the next year, it is truly incredible that we got to watch Burrow, Chase, Justin Jefferson. That was insane. And we thought for a little bit Randy Moss's tight end son might be pretty good, and it turns out he was just kind of a product of the
system. I got a guy named Lowell Sarnice, Justin McMillan. These are the guys who are on the 2017 roster that might have transferred after Joe beat them out in 18. So I don't know who they're gravitating towards, but none of those guys turned out to be anything.
No, college. None of them did. Well, AI is trying to tell me Miles Brennan, but I don't think it was Miles Brennan.
He was the only guy who I remember getting snaps in any significant way other than Joe during that time period.
I'll look into it just because I'm interested. But I remember reading that article that's when the team officially became Joe's team after that hit. And Derek backed that up for me when I asked him about it. I'm like, dude, they had Joe's back after that. Mm-hmm. You take that hit and you keep playing. And once again, if you've never seen it, just put Joe Burrow, USF?
2018 job? Fiesta Bowl?
2018 maybe? Fiesta Bowl, and it is an absolute bloodbath of a hit.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got a break. 934 ESPN 97.5. Yesterday, I don't have any good sound from it because it's recorded off of TV. But Maria Taylor asked Mike Tomlin about Aaron Rodgers. He goes, I'm not worried about that quarterback. I'm worried about the one that's going to be on the other sideline because he came in with Pittsburgh, and I was there at that game, and he did not have a good game. He was bad.
Yeah, that game and that quarterback he's talking about is Tua, and it kind of ended his career. Now he's going to start for the Falcons because they rather sit Michael Penix and not run Cooper Rush out there. Not sure that's a great decision. Cooper Rush has won games in the NFL before. But yeah, that was the end. You know, sometimes people say the beginning of the end. That was the end of Tua in Miami. He didn't play again, and Quinn Ewers started the rest of the way. Oof. So, while I don't know what Jeff Hafley's going to be, I am actually thrilled they got rid of Mike McDaniel, because Mike McDaniel's plan was to start Quinn Ewers this year. He was talking to Darren Waller in their exit interview, and someone came in and said, hey, Mike, got to talk to you, and he got fired. But he expected to come back, and he told Darren Waller that they're going to roll with Quinn Ewers as their starter, as seventh-round pick. Yeah, Mike, maybe you're better calling plays, not running an organization.
I don't know if you heard, but Tom Brady was a sixth-rounder.
True,
yeah.
But we saw Quinn Ewers play in the NFL, right?
Well, Tom Brady wasn't great to start.
And then Quinn Ewers was so bad, a new team who has no talent said, get out of here. We can't even have you as a backup. Beat it. That's how bad he was in the training
camp. Are you excited about Malik?
I'm excited because, as someone really put it, it was pretty adept to say, I don't have to worry about my quarterback getting hurt every time he drops back to pass. That concern. Throw the ball! I don't have to. Now, a quarterback can get hurt at any time.
Yeah.
But I don't have to. It won't be one of the thoughts I think about going into a game. Like, is he going to get knocked out of a game because of concussion again? That gets removed from the table, so there's less anxiety there. And they're going to start two rookie receivers. Chris Bell made it back from the injury, so he's starting. Caleb Douglas is starting. Jacob Rodriguez is starting. So they're going to be bad, but at least they'll be bad and young as opposed to bad and old. So I'll get to watch young players and see if they're any good, see if the new general manager hit on some of these picks. And Malik, in limited opportunities last year, was pretty good with the Packers, a much different player than he was with the Titans. So we'll see what he's got. They're going to run the football, and maybe the rookie wide receivers will do stuff. You know, they may win four games this year. They get to four, they better beat the Raiders, because that's one of the four I'm counting on if they're going to win, and that's the game on Sunday. It's a low stress season for me, man. I watch the Texans and hope they win, and hope the Dolphins aren't the worst team in football.
I was in two fantasy drafts.
Yeah.
Now I don't remember any Dolphins.
I took Malik Willis.
You did?
Because he's got like
a three fantasy draft.
Yeah,
you took.
Yeah,
you
because took Malik? he's projected like for 15 per game. So I took Jordan Love in our draft because no one took him either. So I've got him, Caleb Williams, and Malik Willis. We'll see how it plays out. But yeah, and who's taking Dolphins outside of Achan? Why would you take the one you take in every draft? Clearly,
yeah.
Oh, they spent a lot of money on him in our auction.
Yep. Achan got a lot.
And it's, you know, because he's going to catch a bunch of passes. He's going to catch a bunch of passes. I have a funny feeling. So we have to come up with bold predictions. Week one, and my bold prediction, I was looking like, what do I think it's going to be? And I said Falcons, despite their disarray at quarterback, go in and beat the Steelers. Now, they're a 3.5-point dog on the road against the Steelers, which is probably less than you would expect. But remember, this is a team with Drake London, with Bijan Robinson, with Kyle Pitts. Like, it's not like they don't have some players. They've got some players. It's just a matter of, can Tua play well enough? And I didn't like what I saw from Aaron Rodgers last year. DK Metcalf thinks he's DK may not know if he's in the upside down, or DK Metcalf is really on one now. He believes there's an alternate universe that's taking place in Antarctica. Like, he's saying things that make me think he's on ayahuasca. And they've got Jeremy Bernard, DK Metcalf, and Michael Pittman. On paper, it sounds pretty good. Rico Dowdle. Actually, on paper, I would argue that Rico Dowdle being added to Jaylen Warren and Michael Pittman being added, they should be better on offense, the Pittsburgh Steelers. One of my favorite quarterbacks to watch of all time is Aaron Rodgers. And I just have no confidence in Aaron Rodgers anymore. He doesn't want to take hits. He'll just throw the ball. Like, he just will get rid of it way sooner than he should before routes develop.
And he's distracted by other things. He was on the Cam Hayward podcast
talking
about Russini again and how ESPN doesn't cover the things they should cover.
He's right.
But what do you care? You're a quarterback. Just go play football.
Just go play ball.
But
you've already said this like three times.
Yeah, but they did put – I'm looking at it right now. He put, you know, they put Jed York on the cover
but what
story.
Is he, why
it's just
is he
not what I want my
to
quarterback to be concerned with. That's
how about
all.
He not do a bunch of podcasts anymore and get ready for a season? He didn't have a good season. Like, just
did
play.
You
we heard you on Pat McAfee's. Just – it is – it's this really is on his mind a lot. ESPN is on his mind a lot.
We saw while CJ certainly
if I
got
had that much money, man, I wouldn't care about none of y'all.
Got a lot of attention for how his playoffs went. We saw Aaron Rodgers whimper out of the playoffs against the Texans. Fearful. Looked like a scared – and we understand the Texans are coming
he
after
really
you.
He really did.
He looked scared
yeah,
out
he
there.
He really did.
Your last impression was you look scared. Why don't you prove that you don't play scary anymore? You know, when you're a kid, you playing scary. You out there playing scary. Mm-hmm. Go out there and pretend to be a quarterback again.
Who are you talking about?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron or CJ?
Aaron Rodgers throwing hitches and doesn't want to turn his back to the defense anymore. Scary ass Aaron Rodgers.
He got to get rid of the ball in a hurry.
It's scary ass.
Last five games, Drake May, 7 touchdowns, 11 turnovers, 7 interceptions, 4 fumbles, 24 sacks. This other quarterback had 5 touchdowns in the last 5 games. 5 touchdowns, 9 turnovers, 8 interceptions, 1 fumble loss, 17 sacks. He's arguably got a little bit, only 106 sack yards lost versus 143 for Drake May. Who is that quarterback? Same exact 6.6 yards per attempt. Who is that quarterback? 5 touchdowns and 9 turnovers in the last 5 games. Actually, he's a little bit better than Drake May in the last 5 games.
Five touchdowns and 5 interceptions? 5
touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Oh, you're saying
Drake's got 7 touchdowns, 7
you're
interceptions.
You're saying that's CJ.
But Drake has 4 fumbles. He has 1 fumble loss. Yeah. Who's that other quarterback?
Oh, it's not CJ.
Nope.
Because he didn't have 5 touchdowns.
Is it Josh Allen?
It's arguably better than. No, think the other way. Not Josh Allen.
No, terrible.
It's not Josh Allen.
It's Shador. He's arguably been better than Drake May in the last.
Drake May in the
games.
Playoffs in this last game.
Well, I'm not as down on Shador as a lot of people are. I get that. I still actually think Shador could end up being an average starter in the league if given. But, you know, he's got to have his dad get out of his business. He's got to, you know, settle into being a quarterback and not doing all the extra stuff. Like, he's got to make the main thing the main thing. But I haven't really, given up on the idea that Shador Sanders can be an average quarterback. The problem is they're done with them in Cleveland. You can say what you want, but they got a bunch of first round picks. They're drafting a quarterback in this upcoming draft. So he'll get, there's a lot of people who want to see him traded to a spot where he's got a chance to be a starter. One thing I've learned about quarterback play is it really doesn't matter. You just need to just keep getting better. Davis Mills has a chance to be a future NFL starter now because he's gotten better.
Well, he's better than a lot of guys that are, some guys that are starting.
He is. Yeah. Sam Darnold came from a backup role, got an opportunity to play better than expected, and part of that's because he played with a really good wide receiver with Justin Jefferson. You have, Baker is a great comeback story. It really doesn't matter that it's not like you have a 7-year. I mean, Jameis Winston still pulls checks. I don't know anyone who's thrown 30 interceptions.
Oh, and they love him.
Who fails up more than Jameis Winston. You know Jameis, the World Cup correspondent.
Yeah.
Jameis
Williams. He became a World Cup
correspondent. World Cup correspondent. Jameis, who just did a big crab legs commercial for DoorDash.
Yeah.
Nobody makes more money after 30 interceptions. Jameis Winston.
Is there any way he can stand up on a table in a quad and say, grab her by, then see if he can make money off of that, too, like he did in college?
I don't know about that.
Is he going to be able to do that? He flipped the crab leg thing.
He did, but that one is...
I'm not sure
any company wants him saying that.
When did he say... Oh, he said that back in...
Grab her by the...
Back
15,
in...
Yeah. No, well, I'm trying to do that.
Stood up on the table.
Yeah, 14 or 13. I forgot which... It was in. He was still in...
All right, I want you to do the timing. State. We know when Trump was in the bus... And he said what he said with Billy Bush.
Yep.
And that was before the 16 election.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So that would have been 15-ish, maybe? 16-ish?
Probably, maybe. Somewhere around
so
there.
It would have been. So Jameis said it first.
I think. Now.
Publicly, Jameis said it. And like, Jameis was drafted after 14.
Yeah, he said that while he was still an
FSU quarterback.
He got
in trouble at FSU in 14.
Trump was being descriptive. Jameis was just being a no.
He was just, just being a doofy college kid. Yeah.
And then, did you see. I wasn't on the radio here with you guys at the time. Did you see that this started? Do y'all remember that there were people who were screaming this on live TV?
That's where Jameis got it from.
Yeah.
Oh, he got it from there?
Yeah, he's not the originator.
Oh, I didn't know.
Or he didn't initiate it?
No, he didn't start it.
No, that's right.
It was a thing trending.
That's right.
A news reporter would be doing a stand-up, and someone would come behind him and go, grab her, and that's where Jameis got it from.
Oh, and then Jameis thought it'd be slick to just jump up and yell, and they were like, oh, my God.
You're the starting quarterback.
You
can't do that.
You're the starting quarterback at Florida State. What did you just say?
Yeah. All right, we got a break. We got News of the Weird brought to you by Damaris Barbecue next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
All right. 9:54, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. It's News of the Weird. Glad you could join us today. This is our final segment. And one of the big thanks to Nick yesterday. We had a great time out there. We did the shows live out there and we watched the game. Had a great time. Thank you, Nick. And there's a little beef going on with those two, by the way. You know, Yanni is mentioned in his song. It says, you're here, you can get a large sausage, and you can't at Damaris.
Is that a sneak diss?
Yeah. Huh. So I think there's going to be some retaliation coming.
So
remember Yanni's the wars they used to have?
Yeah, they're classic.
Yeah.
Are they going? Is Yanni going to sing?
We hope so.
No,
I do.
Yanni doesn't sing.
We can only hope.
Nick didn't sing until he did.
No.
So.
And Nick is... And he doubled down yesterday. I was like, Nick, you got to take.
I'm
He's
glad.
Like, uh-uh.
I'm glad.
Doing more.
Come back in. I need more for that EP.
Gangsters don't dance, they boogie.
No.
I need Nick to sing more. Maybe he's a new country guy at some point. I don't know. Maybe he's versatile.
No. He doesn't look that versatile to me.
Makes good.
Hey, good news, guys.
What?
We've got cyborg roaches.
Holy.
That can stab you now with needles.
Oh, good.
But now they're robot bugs, but they could they're aimed at delivering life-saving aid to disaster victims.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that's
And I'm
aim.
Sure there won't be any poison ever. Right. No one will ever poison
I'm
these
sure
roaches.
No one could ever
so
get
that
to
they
these...
can stab you in your sleep.
Yeah, I'm sure none of these roaches will always be used for good.
Yes,
robot
not evil.
Roaches.
Not evil.
Not bad.
No.
Because only good people live in the world.
That's right.
And nobody bad.
Good
That's
news.
Why everything good is going to happen.
Needle stabbing roaches now. So we got that.
We're good
How about
people.
This petting zoo? You ever been to this petting zoo in
is
North Carolina?
Is it an evil petting zoo?
Yeah, there is 200-plus people were exposed to rabid baby goats. Congratulations.
Well, I'd rather be that than stabbing roaches.
Stabbing roaches, robot roaches. I don't know. I think I'd rather have the baby
rabid
goat.
Goats? Yeah, but do the goats bite kids?
Huh?
Like, do you just catch rabies by petting a rabid goat?
I think you do. Okay. I think you do.
Well, then 25 shots in their stomach for all of them.
Dead. Oh, God. Apparently, a gay dating app, Grindr, went down in Dallas during the Republican National Convention.
Jetters,
Trump-a-palooza.
Did you hear that?
Trump-a-palooza. Oh, it went down. Hell. All hell broke
Couldn't
loose.
Handle the capacity?
Yeah, I think that's the
Got
reason.
It. Got
yeah.
it.
I mean, you wouldn't think that, but I guess
well,
you
never know.
You don't know. You don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
you don't,
I
don't
know.
You don't know. What else? Oh, bikini baristas won $1.8 million in a lawsuit against the espresso stand owner. They're celebrating. A judge decided that he stole That's a lot of money to steal from a bikini barista.
But they make more money. There's no doubt that bikini baristas make more money.
No,
I just know how this
that's
works.
No question.
There's no doubt.
Unpaid wages and damages. If you've got bikini baristas that are making you all this money, pay them.
Just keep this thing going. Open up more locations. Why are you trying to steal
them
from these
hoes
baristas?
Were loyal.
They were, well, we don't
hoes.
Know that for sure. Wait a minute, yeah.
Why?
I can't co-sign that.
I've come around on your stripper thing where you said, well, they are probably doing extra stuff. Okay, I won't fight you on that. But even the bikini baristas?
Well, I mean, there's a reason.
I understand. I get it.
Well, maybe that was a little harsh. But they were loyal and he wasn't loyal to them.
Then he's the hoe.
Thought was not loyal. Was loyal.
And if he's not loyal, he's the hoe.
He's the hoe.
He's the hoe. You're probably right about that. Yeah, maybe I was a little harsh.
Huh, what system
Perhaps.
Is that where the girls help make all the money and then the guy keeps all the money? Wonder what that little...
That pimp.
What that's typically called.
Well, it's a clear version of the oldest profession.
Well, that pimp got hit with a $1.8 million bill.
Well, we'll see what happens to Don Magic Juan if he ends up catching some type of civil suit or some of his old girls would come back off the track and say, hey... $2.6 million.
You think the girls, you think hookers are going to go after
I'm just saying.
There's precedent.
There's precedent has been set.
Yeah.
I mean, legals.
If you're keeping the money for their
work.
In
the legal world, you need precedent.
Mapes is back, and he points out we've used the term hoes, thoughts, and hookers.
It's news of the weird. This happens every segment.
It's news of the weird. It's weird.
Happens
it's really
every
weird.
News of the weird.
All right, we're done. 10 o'clock.
You know what I want to do now?
What do you
Open up a barista place with girls in bikinis. What a simple concept.
This is the easiest money in the world.
Have I not thought of this?
I don't know how long it was going on for him to owe $1.8 million, but that's profitable now.
No. Girls in bikinis will never not be profitable.
I guess it will. I guess it will.
So, yeah.
I think you're right.
Why would you squeeze? So, pigs get fat and hogs get slow.
Yeah.
That's what that
and
is.
And bikini baristas, they make money. Okay? Yeah. Man, that's nice. That's a nice business. We're done. Mopey and Mapes are next right here on ESPN 97.5. Glad you could join us.